I wanted to speak today about a subject matter which is very, very interesting when we are in a younger age and we are desiring to somehow find our life. I think a very, very important question which maybe you have asked yourself already is the question, what is really my nature? Who am I really? I mean, deep inside, when I take all the different roles which I play away, who am I really? This is a very important question which has been asked in the human society. It's a question for authenticity. Authenticity doesn't just mean, who am I in the sense which we know I'm an eternal soul. To be authentic in one's life means to do something which is, or to have found out my nature in this life, in this world. For instance, a very good example of an authentic person is, let me give the example of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Srila Prabhupada believed in his different values, like one was to take a bath in the morning, and he would do it everywhere, no matter what. For instance, once he was on a flight somewhere and he made a short pause in Bangkok. Now it was morning time, time for my morning bath. But there were no bathing facilities really, so he went into this very perfectly cleansed airport toilet. He cleansed one sink, filled it with water, and took his lota and just happily took his bath. You can imagine when the person who took care of the facility came in and saw this Indian sadhu doing what was never done, taking a bath. You know, Prabhupada was in his gamsha and he was thinking, how unusual. And Prabhupada very kindly greeted him, "Good morning, sir." You know, this was the most natural thing in the world. The water was coming on the floor, but there was a drainage, if you call it drainage, which took care of the water. Prabhupada was so kind and so it was so natural that the person was just couldn't say anything, and I think he got the mercy of Prabhupada also. So this is an example of someone who is authentic. That means he does what he feels he has to do in his life because he's very secure in himself and he exactly knows no matter what goes on around him, he knows his way and he follows it with great confidence and happiness. If you are not authentic, you could be called a chameleon. The chameleon always changes according to the circumstances in which he is. If he would be in this room, he would look like, he would adopt some colors of the furniture. And if he would be out in nature, he would be all green because it's green. So a person who is a chameleon has really not yet found his way. He always changes his ways according to with whom he is. Sometimes when we are young, we have this difficulty. When we are with materialistic people, we have not really found our way, we might change. And I have heard some of our young devotees of our community are in the process of finding their way, and sometimes they are like this and sometimes they are like that. We have to be patient with them and support them, but we have to also tell them it's good if you quickly find your way, because it's always changing. You know, this is very strenuous. You have to be the person you are. You can't always change it. So today I would like to tell you a little story which tells you very nicely and very fascinating how to find your way. It is quite intense, the story. No one dies in the story, don't worry, but it's very intense. So I will now do what storytellers do. I will have to change a little bit my dress. I'm not very well equipped. I can only... This is very convenient in that dress of a sannyasi. You can also use it for collecting apples and corn and so on. But you can also use it to quickly change into a storyteller. So now, when the story is told, we must do something with the telephone. Is it possible to unhook it for a moment, or actually it has to come? What do you think, Lakshmi Mohan?
Okay, we can survive.
Someone will take notes and tell the story. That's a good way to do with something which you find good, to immediately tell it to someone else, and then you keep it. So now we will just wait for Lakshmi Moni to come, and then we will start. May I know what are your ages? I mean, in between, who's the youngest of you? And what is your age? 13.
I actually just turned 13 on Tuesday.
Oh, congratulations. And the oldest amongst you? Yeah?
16.
Oh, yeah. When I was your age, I actually came to Krishna consciousness. I came to Krishna consciousness with 16. So, yes, we are ready now. Are you ready?
Yes.
I really have to go. Take some time to you have to rewind and program the story in your moment. It's just processing. Click, 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 click. Once upon a time. We know the story. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess. On her 18th birthday, her father arranged for a beautiful, elaborate festival. Yes, all the poets of the country were invited, and part of the birthday celebration was to give and hear poetic recital. There came one gallant poem who described the mountains and the rivers as they were cascading through the different falls and nourished the country. And he compared it with love, which comes from high and somehow goes through our heart and extends to whomever we love. And there were other poets who also spoke very, very nice. And in the end, I do not know if you can believe me, the young princess was requested to also recite her own poems. It was her 18th birthday. As a gesture of kindness, the young princess had released all the prisoners who were imprisoned in the dark chambers of her castle, because she wanted that everyone would be happy on her 18th birthday, also the prisoners. And she danced and danced and danced on her 18th birthday, happily and late into the night. Some people afterwards rumored and gossiped. He was dancing so attentively with one young man, the prince of the neighboring country. Maybe there's something going on. And she found her prince. I think we can all imagine when finally the young princess went to bed. It was late. It was 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. I have exactly forgotten in the morning. She lay down. And as she was laying down, she was replaying in her mind the events of the day. How in the morning the prisoners had been released. How there was a wonderful banquet with many nice eatables. How there was this poem. And also how he had danced with a young man, but how he really, how she really felt him a little uncultured and a little cross. He looked more like a footballer. She was thinking like this with good feelings about her whole birthday, when all of a sudden something changed. She heard a voice, a loud voice. "Let me free! Finally! Let me go! Let me free!" She looked around in her bed. The room was lit up by the moon rays. Was there some person? Maybe I just imagine to hear this. It was maybe the wind who brought a branch on the window which was squeaking, and I interpreted it like this. As she thought like this, she again heard the voice, "Let me free! Please, let me free!" She went out of her bed. And quite scary. It was scary, you know. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. What would you do if you would hear a voice of an unknown person in your room? It was very timidly, you know, burning a candle, and looked in the underneath her bed. Maybe there was someone. "Let me free! Let me free!" No one was under the bed. Finally she called out, "Who are you that wants to be free? You can't be one of the prisoners. I let all of them free." And the answer came back, "I'm yourself." "What?" said the princess. "I am myself. There is no other self than me." And the answer came back, "Young princess, what you think is yourself is only one of the many masks which you are wearing. I will not give peace unless you finally let me free." And again the voice called out, "Let me free!" The princess was totally disoriented. Imagine this would happen to you. Just imagine it at 2 o'clock in the night when you want to sleep. A voice comes, "Let me free!" And you ask, "Who is it?" And the voice says, "I'm yourself." This is highly irritating, to say the least. She was so confused. She did what most probably all of us would have done. She tried to flee and run away. She ran out of the castle, helter-skelter. She She just quickly had dressed and just ran and ran into the forest. But as she was running, she heard the voice almost running behind her. "Let me free, you can't flee." Finally, in utter exhaustion, she just stopped. There was a ruin of an old castle. Have I said the word correctly? Ruin? Ruin, yes. Ruin. Yes, a ruin of an old castle. She went to the old castle and fell asleep, leaning with her body a little like this on the stones. Now, as she was falling asleep, a dream came up. This is a very important dream. I think I will ask you for an analysis of a dream. Do you know that you can dream sometimes tell you something about yourself? Mm-hmm. You have had such dreams? Yeah, where you. So please listen very carefully and try to analyze this dream. We will for a moment be psychoanalysts. Yes, you will have to make a. Imagine you are a doctor and you have to analyze the dream. This is what she dreamt. She saw an unusual castle. Usually castles are in the have about this dimension. But this castle was a castle which was almost like a tree. Or maybe like a human body. And it was very high. She looked inside the castle and she saw a long, long staircase going like this up and reaching to what seemed to be the entrance into the castle. It was a big, big door. And left and right to it, two windows. As she looked into the castle, you know, it was open, she could look into it, and I think it's clear because she saw the staircase. She saw at the bottom of this castle, of the staircase, a person sitting like this. This person had a very golden complexion. But it also had a chain around her feet. It was difficult to say if it was really a he or a she, a male or a female person. Let us just say the person. It was like this, and it stopped crying and shaking. Well, I mean, something was totally disturbing to the person. Ah, he was going like really intensely crying, and then for a moment, that person brought the head up like I'm doing now and looked straight into the eyes of the princess and said with a very serious expression in the face, "Let me free. Please let me free." It was clearly the person who was there. Now, this is the dream. What could the dream mean? Any idea? Could you give some interpretation? Yes, yes. What is your good name? Oh, we have not heard your name, I believe.
Yes.
Saradia.
It was your soul, like, casual is like a body.
Oh yeah, the castle is a body.
And
a prisoner was a soul. Now where I begin to think about it, for you it's so effortlessly you can give this. I usually tell this in public lectures and the people are, what would it mean? But right, it's the soul, and you know, it's a nice analogy. We also have a staircase. It starts here and goes up, and this is the entrance, and these two windows are our eyes through which we look into the world. Let me free, finally let me free. As the person said this, have you sometimes found that people look at you and you become so a little shocked, you know? So she was shocked and woke up. And as she woke up, it was bright day. She was leaning against the ruin of the castle, and she looked up, and she looked straight, and there was a clearing in the forest with nice green grass. Wind was going, the birds were making some noise, and she all of a sudden noticed some birds were flying quickly in one direction, and then on the other side of the clearing the bushes opened and a person came, a man came towards her whom she had never seen. I do not know how you feel when you are in the forest and all of a sudden the bushes open and someone starts marching right at you. But this person was apparently a very good person. He had long white hair and a beard, and he was dressed in saffron, so there was nothing to fear. And the person came to her and said, "Princess, have you heard the call?" Princess said, what call? Very compassionately, the sadhu said, "Let me free. Have you heard this call?" "Yes, I heard it. How do you know? And what is this call? And who is calling? And how do I understand this? I'm so utterly bewildered." Sadhu smiled very compassionately and said, "You will understand everything in 1 month. For now, we just have to do some work. Please come with me." Princess said, "Who are you?" Sadhu turned around and said, "It is irrelevant. You wouldn't know me at this stage. Just come." He was such a good person. I mean, you can see who is a good person. Anyways, what should she do in the forest? She went to the sadhu. The sadhu brought her to a wonderful lake. It was really a nice lake, which had such water that it was almost like a mirror. So the sadhu said, "Little princess, sit down here on the stone and look into the mirror. What do you see?" Now the princess expected to see what everyone would expect, her own face. She was very handsome and very young and very cultured. And she was actually quite beautiful. But as she looked into her reflection in the lake, she didn't see a beautiful face. She saw a totally vain looking face. Do you know the word vanity? It describes, as far as I know, that you very much care for your looks and how everything looks and how you are dressed and what is your appeal on others, and you know, and when others don't look so well, you feel like, this face she saw, the sadhu said, "What do you see?" And she described, "I'm seeing a sight, or I have a vain face." And the sadhu answered, "This is one of your many masks. Do you want to be that?" The princess said, "No, really not." Then the sadhu said, he reached into the water, and when he came up, he held the face like a mask. You know, how do you say? Like one mask. Yeah, I can't make it so good, I'm not an actor. But he held this mask actually in the hand and went like, and it flew from his hand, maybe like a piece of cotton or like a page, a very light page. It flew and tumbled down on the ground, and as it touched the ground, it dissolved, was gone. "Look again," said the sadhu. And she looked into the lake and saw a very angry face. "Do you want to be that?" asked the sadhu. "No." The sadhu again reached into the lake and took that angry mask out of the lake. Just like you would take a piece of paper, or maybe the dried up scribbled exterior of an onion, and that, like, do you know how many masks they took out on that first day? 11 masks. Then the sadhu said, "This is enough for today. Come with me. We will go where I have my hermitage." And there was a simple cottage, and just next to it was a very nicely made clay house. Have you seen in India this very nice, very clean and very attractive? Yamuna, have you also been on Braj Mandaparikram so far? And there you can see, when you look inside, it looks attractive. It looks like, oh, I want to sit here for a while. Isn't it? It looks very, very nice. So there was such a little house for the princess. Sadhu said, "You can sleep, you can be here, you can eat something now, and then you please rest. And then in the afternoon, I have a very nice book for you to study. It's called the Bhagavad Gita. And then next morning we will continue at the lake." So they went every day for one entire month to the lake. And my dear young devotees, so many masks came out. I think it must have been altogether around 488 or so. Around. It's difficult to say because one forgets to count when it becomes so much. So many masks, one subtler than the others. There was the mask, "I'm a great poet." There was the mask, "I will be the future queen." There were many, many masks like this, until one day, I should start with a night. One night she went to sleep and she had a dream. Our psychoanalyst, Sharadiya, will look very... It is important if you can analyze also the second part of the dream. This is a little bit more difficult to analyze. In her dream, she saw that castle, which was very long and which seemed to have a mouse-like opening and eye-like windows in the top and a spine-like staircase which wound its way upwards. She saw that, and almost near to the entrance, maybe 5 more steps away from the entrance, she saw that person. The chain was still around the foot, but it was hanging loose, and the person went, was obviously very strong, feeling good, and it has almost reached the door. Our princess said, "Soon myself is free." Interesting way to say it. Soon myself is free. It will reach the door to freedom. But how shocked she was when the person turned around and looked out of the dream right into her eyes and said, "Be very careful. Tomorrow will be your most difficult day." We have to analyze the dream a little bit. You are already getting ready, and I can see your computer-like brain working on high speed. The person said, "Please, tomorrow, be very careful. If you give the wrong answer to the question which will be posed to you, I will have to go all the way back down, 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 down at the bottom of the staircase." Strange. I feel so light. I'm almost done with the work. All my masks are gone, and the sadhu said tomorrow will be the last day. She said, "Don't be so mental." then she woke up and went over to the sadhu. The sadhu was still doing his puja. And she came back after 10 minutes, and the sadhu was there praying. And she spied on him, and he heard that the sadhu was praying to Krishna for her. "I've almost made it," said the princess. "Why is he praying now?" She heard how the sadhu was praying. "Please, my dear Krishna, she is such a good soul. She deserves to be free. But I know today there will be a test coming up for her, which is so hard. Only by your mercy she will make the test." And he cried, actually. So she was bewildered, and then came to the sadhu and said, paid her pranams, and "You're worried today?" The sadhu didn't want to show that he was worried. He said, "Princess, today will be your most difficult day. You will see things which you will not believe they are true. And there's only one way how you will pass this day. I beg you to really think very deeply. I will not ask you the question I have asked you all these other days. Do you want to be that? I will ask you another question. Who are you really? This is the question you will have to answer. Think deeply. Don't give a quick answer. Pray for the answer." The princess said, "I don't understand you. We came every day to the lake, and every day one of the marks went away, and I must say I feel very light. I will make it. Don't be so mental," she said. But by now they had a very confidential relationship. She spoke just her mind. So the sadhu just looked at her, and there was a knowing silence. So they went to the lake, and she now expected to see her face. By now she looked very beautiful as she was looking into the lake, because her masks were gone. But how surprised she was. As she looked, her face began to transform. Have you seen this face emanation, face transmutations. You heard of Dr. Jekyll turning into Mr. Hyde? Have you heard?
Mm-hmm.
We have heard. We know everything in Lakshmi Moni's ashram. Please be very careful that you don't cut yourself in the stomach. It will now become very dramatic. And so not that you all of a sudden scream, ah! Faint in the kitchen. And she saw how her face became distorted. First it looked like an evil monkey. Then it looked like a vampire with teeth growing. And then she watched her eyes, and out of the eyes came an endless series of faces coming. The faces, one face of another. And the faces came streaming out of her eyes. And everything looked so ugly and so bad. And she could see that all the faces which came out of her were really faces of her. But old faces, forgotten faces. Faces where she was maybe a ruler. Faces where she was a man. Faces where she was an animal. Faces where she was an artist, a dancer on the rope, and they didn't end. More and more came. It's almost like she started saying, "Okay, so stop the flow of the faces." And then she heard the voice of the Sadhu, "Princess, please, I beg you, tell me, who are you really?" She was bewildered. "Princess, tell me, who are you really?" She was, "I don't know any longer." Then she remembered the tip she should pray. "My dear Lord, who am I really?" And from deep within inside of her, through the corridors of time, came the answer. "You are a servant." And she called out, "I'm a servant!" And at the moment when she said this, "I'm a servant," a strange phenomenon took place. The vision which she had in the lake began to burst. Plush! And the water came into her face. Or maybe it was the tears which ran from her eyes and made the face red. And the whole thing stopped. And the sadhu was there and said, "Oh, yes, you are a servant. You are nothing else than a happy, blissful servant of the Lord." Princess felt very relieved. She couldn't speak for the whole day. She had to think about it. She had to think about the question, what was it what she saw? This unendless stream of faces. And here comes a question for the analytical people. We were first, because you seem to be the fastest analytical person, we will not immediately call on you. You have some idea? No, don't tell it, please. You have an idea? Not yet. Still thinking about it. Who has an idea? Don't tell it as of yet. Just an idea. Lakshmi Moni has an idea. Yeah. let me ask you a question. If you don't know something, an answer, it's good to approach the question with another question. Who could be this? What in us? Obviously, it's an analogy that everyone knows. It describes our own search for our authentic self. What in us is producing all these masks or roles? That's an interesting question. Please think for a moment. When you, for instance, as let us say, come into the situation in your lives where you all of a sudden walk through the world with the idea that no one cares for you, no one loves you. What is it which gives you this idea? Or another situation, you walk through the world and you think entirely the opposite. I'm extremely learned, successful. The whole world should fall at my lotus feet and sincerely serve all my desires. what is it that gives you this different thing? So now we have a few things. Yes, we will start with our youngest. Yes,
Our false ego.
Our false ego. Who wanted to say false ego? You, our Kata Shamayi sister is not absolutely sure. Do you have another idea? It sounds a little like the false ego. What do you think, Yamuna? Would that be a good interpretation? Yeah? You had?
I was thinking that a false ego could come there also, but then you were interesting that sometimes you feel, oh, everyone likes me and cares about me. Sometimes you think that no one likes me and cares about me. It could be like interactions, when our jiva interacts with the material world or the different elements. So he gets happiness, distress, and all the other things.
Yeah.
So that's how.
Here comes a real philosopher. Yes.
I'm going to have a test on the 13th chapter on Wednesday.
So you're well prepared for. May I ask what our analyst Sharadiya, who makes such a beautiful, what do you say? Is it, does it sound right? The answer. Yeah. All of your answers are entirely correct. I'm very, very much pleased. I couldn't say it, when the first one came, because I wanted you to think a little bit about it. But you are absolutely right. It's the false ego, which in the end she even thought, I'm a great... It's so subtle. She was free from many, many of her masks. But in the end, it came back again. I'm a great devotee. I'm a great self-realized princess. and false ego, the Sanskrit word for false ego, I think you all know, ahankara. If you translate ahankara, it's very, very interesting. Ahankara means I, and kara means the maker. Ahankara is the I maker. It is interesting, this is a very simplified translation, but it means the eye maker, almost like a tailor who tailors maybe a marriage suit or a beautiful bright costume, or the tailor made tailor at a nice sari or a dhoti or a shirt or whatever. The tailor makes different costumes, different clothes. So in the same way, the ahankara, the eye maker, is always there. It makes little masks for you, little eyes. You know, almost. Have you all been to India as of yet? Mostly. Oh, you have most probably grown up in Mayapur. Yeah, you have been. Yes. When you see in India, in Vrindavan, you see these tailors. You know, they sit there in some little dark room. The room is all full with the remnants of whatever they have made, and he's tailoring away with a little singer. The machine is usually called Singer. They come from Germany. Just a German factory, Singer. And he goes like, and he sometimes makes it by hand, and sometimes more advanced, they go, have you seen? And the thing turns, and the needle dances up and down through the cloth, and then he's tailoring. So in your heart, it's nice to think of the Ahankara like a tailor who tailors different masks for you all the time. Here, see this. And you go with this mask, and you feel in a certain ahankara-ish way, in an egoistic way. So the only way to solve this ego, this eye-making thing was to give the answer, I'm a serpent. You will see this also in your life when you get into your false ego. I don't know if it happens in the girls' academy also. Absolutely not. But usually it happens everywhere. You know, when it happens, you know, the only way really to overcome this is to remember I'm a servant. Once there was a guru, and he had a very fine ashram, and one very rich person, it was actually a woman doctor, came to him and said, could I give my son into your ashram and you could teach him? And the guru said, yes, but please allow me to teach him. Of course. So she came back after 1 month to look how her son was doing. Do you know what she saw? She saw him cleaning the toilets. Krishna! She watched him, but he didn't see that she was watching him. She went to the doctor and said, to the guru, please, I give you 10 servants to clean the toilets. Don't let my son clean the toilets, please. He was from a good family. The guru said, my dear doctor, when a patient comes to you and is sick, to whom do you give the medicine? To the patient or his servant? She said, of course, to the patient. The patient is sick, not the servant. Yes, said the guru. In the same way, your son has the disease called false ego. And he needs to serve. He needs to be a menial servant. His servant most probably doesn't have the disease as much as he has. So therefore, it is administered. The medicine needs to be administered to your son. Toilet cleaning means he is a menial servant. I guess you also have to do sometimes toilet cleaning. I come from a very wealthy family and arrogant family in Germany. When I joined, the devotees requested me if I could do the toilets, and I was, ooh, I have toilets. I've never even conceived of such an idea to clean the toilets. It was a foreign idea. I can try it. You really have to tell me what to do, you know. And then I was learning it, and I found out that it was so good for me to every morning after when the devotees were taking prasadam, I would go, you know, when the toilets were used in the morning by the morning toilet, and cleansed it. And then after 3 years or so, they requested me to do translation work, but I said I will only accept it if I can still clean the toilets, please. I'm the only expert which is there in the temple. I've done it for 2 years, and I exactly know how to do it, and I was even collecting for my own toilet cleaning, with the powder and the different enhancements to the art of toilet cleaning. You know. I could teach you actually where to start, where to end, and you know how to make it the most sparkling toilet in the universe, and so on. So this is my story for all of you. I really want to I wanted to make this point when Lakshmi Moni was so kind and said, please come and visit our ashram. I was very happy and delighted that I could come, and my heart was melting when you blew into the conch shell, almost like in the beginning of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. No, it was more like and how you sing like angels, practically. And I had heard about that you have deities, but I didn't expect so many deities. and Krishna is really dressed in a very exquisite and elegant way here. And I must tell you, I have great respect of you, although I may be so old and you are so young in comparison, and although I may be a Swami who is allowed to give the morning class, I really know that you are, many of you are born in Vaishnava families, or if you were not born in Vaishnava families, you are practically born in Vaishnava families, because you came at a very early age in contact with Krishna consciousness, and that you are in a Krishna conscious school, which is very rare. And I have great respect, and I know as you pursue the path, you are much more qualified than I can ever hope to become. I feel like this very honestly. But I also know that just like our princess had to do with her false ego, you also will have to confront this this little tailor in your heart who makes different masks. And this is why is this disturbing? It's disturbing because we will only be happy when we are authentic, when we are in our own self, when we are properly balanced and so on. And that's only possible if we are properly situated. And yes, and I want to encourage you to think to be a servant, to be a servant of each other also while you are in the school, to try to assist each other in a very good way, to be a servant of our Lakshmi Moni and our assistants. Naradanath Maharaj always talks about Lakshmi Moni. She is a 100% surrendered soul. to be a servant of the devotees. You will see you're most happy in this. Of course, sometimes our false ego comes up and says, no, this is too much. and so on. That is, I guess, natural and so on. But try to think of being a servant of Vaishnavas. Then everything will go very, very quick. Another thing I wanted to tell you, I'm aware that sometimes going to school is a little hard. Believe me, I didn't make it in school for long. I ran away, but mine was not a Vaishnav school. I was we call them in Germany a gymnasium. I was in such a school, and at that time my memories of the school are not very good. I used to read a lot in my life, but I didn't read the textbooks, unfortunately, and I would always come into these embarrassing situations that you would have to pass these examinations, and I would go to my neighbor, please, and look what he was writing in the examination, and then the neighbor said, you know nothing, and the teacher will know that you wrote everything down from me, you know. And even sometimes now I have nightmares, you know, that I'm turning to my neighbor to look what he writes, to write the same thing down or slightly altered. The neighbor goes and gives me a slap, and I don't go through the examination. I have to repeat another boring year. So I remember this, and I remember with school how unkind the pupils were, you know. But I really want to. I would go to a Vaishnav school. I would always go there. In fact, now I believe in my life that education is one of the most important things in our movement, because in education is really an investment in your future. Depending on what you know, you will know how to speak in your life, how to think in your life, how to plan things in your life. It's very, very important that you use the time properly. I really want to encourage you to really use this time very, very nicely. Even though it's sometimes hard, and you may like, I want to swim now, and I want to play now. No, play, this is no longer the age of playing, isn't it? For you, maybe? playing is necessary. Good. Good, yeah. Yes. Yes, and so it's very good that you do this, and we need such young devotees like you very much, who can, with a good character and a good the kindness of the heart, which can help spread Krishna consciousness. Later be maybe good mothers to good children, and or whatever the preachers from the Vyasasan, they all will come. I wish you all the best, really. Thank you very much for your kindness. Really? Really? Christmas month?
Usually doing around 4,000 books in 10 days
every
Christmas.
Really? I'm also going out still, because I want to give the example and so on. Really? I'm totally impressed. Maybe what I should do when the Christmas morning, I will go to the where you distribute, and I will dress myself up so that you don't know who I am. And I will then go, and then you will come and say, and I will say, why should I take it? Please give me reasons. And then you will start to preach to me why I should take this book, and then but I have a question. Is there really a God or no? And then you would have to give arguments, and I would see if it would be wonderful.
You love to have it. You may go to Puerto Rico on Christmas now.
That's where it's warm? Or
it's
or
warm
what?
There, but also the Keshe Pandipambo is organizing a big Rath Yatra.
Uh-huh.
And the government is paying for a lot of it.
Oh, really?
And so he's put us down as a theater and decorating crew that he wants to hire, so they may pay all of our way to fly.
Oh, wonderful. That's an adventure, Puerto Rico.
It's very very nice. They study Spanish, so a lot of them like to try.
Oh, yeah? Try. Si, si. Si, si is Spanish? Or that's Italian, maybe?
No, Spanish.
Well.
Spanish. Yes.
Yes, yes. Good. Fine. How did you like the story? Intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, it's very nice. I forgot that I was a storyteller in the middle. This happens, you know, when you are with the family members. You forget. Storytelling is a... It's an ancient art, a very, very good art. Yeah. Okay, so now I think we should make a little sightseeing and see everything. Is that all right?
Yeah, okay.
Good. See. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.